Down there we went, and at 7 years of age, I walked out between the metal folding chairs and knelt at that little makeshift altar and asked Jesus to do for me what I could not do for myself. Amen? Service. Matthew chapter 27. If you have your Bibles, open them up to Matthew chapter 27. And we'll just read a couple of verses this morning. I want to preach for a little while on what held Jesus to the cross. It wasn't the nails. It wasn't the Roman law or edict that held him there. The Bible says in verse 22 of Matthew chapter 27, Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? I pose that same question this morning to you. No matter who you are, where you've been, or what you've done, what will you do with Jesus? What about Jesus? What are you going to do with him? You say, well, I'm indifferent on the subject. I will do nothing. Then you've done something. You've rejected him. You either reject him or accept him. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. And then verse 35. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. Over in verse 42, it says, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he'll have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. It's almost impossible for you and I to imagine what it would be like to be condemned to die and to sit on death row. I can't imagine that. It seems like every time we have an execution in the United States, however, there are always those do-gooders with their placards and their candles outside or somewhere near the perimeter of the prison grounds shouting something like, let's not be barbaric, let's not be uncivilized, let's not demand an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And yet Genesis 9 says, if a man sheds a man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. You know, it's time we got back to some of those principles and precepts of the Word of God and quit sugarcoating it so much. The crowd came to the foot of the cross and they wagged their heads, the Bible says. They wagged their heads and they said, if thou be the Son of God. They've been saying that ever since, by the way. If thou be the Son of God. They've been casting aspersions at the character of Jesus and the person of the Son of God ever since that day of the crucifixion. Yet we know the Bible says in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. The rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the altogether lovely one, the Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. What kept him on that cross? If it wasn't those nails, if it wasn't the demand of the Roman government, if it wasn't the cries of the people, what was it that kept our Savior there? And by the way, it was for you and I that he stayed there that day. Another song we need to resurrect from our early years, he didn't come down. And he didn't. He could have, but he didn't. He made the men that nailed him there. He made the tree the cross was cut from, but he didn't come down. He had all power, didn't he? Because one day he came out on deck of the boat, remember that, on the Sea of Galilee, and he said, peace, be still to the winds and waves. The sea became like glass. Dr. Lakin said those waves tucked their tails between their legs and fled to the distance. And they said, what manner of man is this that even the winds and waves do obey him? He could have come down, but he didn't. What kept him there? I submit to you this morning that a delight to do his Father's will kept our Savior on the cross. The psalmist said in Psalm 40 and verse 8, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I delight to do thy will. Wouldn't it be great if we could pattern ourselves after that? I delight to do thy will. Most Americans delight in everything but the will of God. We delight in having a lot of stuff. We delight in having a good time. We delight in frivolous things usually. Jesus said, I delight to do my Father's will. And doing his Father's will. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39, he said, nevertheless, as he was facing the cross, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. In John 4:34, he said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. In John 6:38, Jesus said, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Delight to do his Father's will. What do you delight in today? Are you delighting in the Father's will? You know, God has a will. He has a purpose. He has a perfect will for your life. I don't care if you're in the last half or the first half or the middle or where you're at, God has a plan. He doesn't work helter-skelter. He has a blueprint for your life. I have 7 grandchildren now. How many have grandkids? How many like them? They are pretty incredible, aren't they? They can be incredible in a variety of ways, actually, but they're incredible. Emily Grace, our oldest, is in her 2nd year at Liberty University. She loves it so much, I think she'll stay after she graduates. I think she'll get every degree they offer and then just stay. She just loves the campus. She loves the atmosphere. She loves everything about it. I don't know if she'll ever leave. And that's really something. We're headed there before we go back to Georgia. We're gonna keep our promise we've made to her 2 years ago, and that's to come see her on the campus. And then the other 6, Carly, Elizabeth, Amy's oldest, she's leading worship in the church at 17 years of age. That's incredible, isn't it? And then these other kids, they're all seeking their way. Ethan Taylor, the next oldest of Paul's, was just accepted at Liberty University. He'll be heading there next fall. It's a joy. It is a pure joy to see those kids follow in the will of God. Oh, there's nothing in this world, child of God, I say to you from my heart, if I never speak to you again, I say to you this morning that the place of joy and peace and contentment and fulfillment is in the center of God's perfect will for your life. Amen. Oh, find it, get in it, whatever it takes, get in God's purpose for your life. It kept Jesus on the cross. Secondly, a devotion to a lost world held Jesus on that cross. The crowd said, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Come on, Jesus, that's what we're here for. We're here for the show. We want to see you pull those nails. We want to see you come off that cross. Make no mistake about it this morning. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free, like the old songwriter wrote. And he could have, but he stayed on that cross. You think about it. In your darkest moment, in your darkest hour, in your sorriest time of your life, he stayed there on that cross for us. For us. I think about my life before serving the Lord. And I think how useless and aimless and senseless everything was. And yet God in his patience and his faithfulness and his love and his care, he took me in and gave me the privilege just to whisper his name, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I bring you Jesus today. I could do nothing higher, nothing better than to present to you him, the Son of God, the lily of the valley, the bright and the morning star. John 15, 13 says, greater loveth no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Over in the book of Luke, you can't help but see the love that kept him on the cross when he cried, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings. And ye would not. You can't help but see the breadth, the depth, the height, the length of the love that passeth all knowledge. God loves you today. God loves you today. God loves you. Mom and Dad took me to church. My dad worked afternoons, so we didn't see him all week long. And so Mom, I'm certain, was convinced it takes a village in this sense. She said, I got to get these boys. I'm the middle of three boys. I'm glad it leaves no after effects. That middle child thing is a myth. How many middle kids? Are you a middle child? Yeah. It's perfectly normal, right? Mom said, I got to get these boys in church. Well, right down across the field, almost in view of our house, Fred Kraft was starting up a church called Gideon Baptist Church in the basement of his house. And Mom got us going. Mom was the one that engineered that mission. I know why, because she thought to herself, there's no way I'm going to be able to handle this without help. And down there we went, and at 7 years of age, I walked out between the metal folding chairs and knelt at that little makeshift altar and asked Jesus to do for me what I could not do for myself. Amen? And here I am 2 years later. I'm still saved. Amen? If I see you 100 million years from this morning, I'll still be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm not going to get everlasting life when I die. I have it right now. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. My mom died May the 18th. She was 95 and a half. What a godly praying mama. Our mothers were best buddies. They raised us up together in church, and they were examples to us, praying, loving, caring, soul-winning mothers. Cannot count the myriad of people that Linda's mama prayed with at the altar and led to Jesus across all those years. And my mother as a department superintendent in the Sunday school. We were singing in the room. And hospice told us Mom could hear every word we were saying. And so 25 or more of us singing and singing and singing. And finally I said, I just felt the Lord in the room, you know. And I said to my family, I tell you what, let's just pray. And so I got over there real close to where Mom, down close to Mom's ear. And I prayed loud. And I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. Prayed some more. She was a praying mother. She had prayer journals all over her house. We found them in every nook and every cranny. We found prayer journals. We put them in my PhD brother's box to send back to Alaska with him. He took them out, laid them on the table, went to Alaska and left the prayer journals. How do you do that? Mom prayed. So I prayed for Mom. I was down in her ear. I finally came and I felt like God just directed it. I said, now, Lord, would you send a band of your holy angels into this room? And would you usher our mom off to the city of God, off to your side? Because I'm just certain there's a whole gang of folks standing at the banister looking over, waiting for her to come because they're there because of her. And right at that moment when I prayed those words, Mom drew her last breath and went out into eternity. I tell you, there's nothing like a praying mother, and there's nothing like leaving a legacy in your home and in your community and in those around you that you've stood for God and His will. The delight to do his Father's will, a devotion to a lost world. Number three, a desire to give God's people victory to serve him. You know, I go in churches and we have for now almost 38 years. 38 years traveling all 50 states, almost 20 countries, preaching and singing the gospel. Invariably, there's always someone in the crowd. You reach out to shake their hand. How you doing today? I don't know. Pretty good under the circumstances. I shook hands with a lady in a church down south one time. I said, how you doing? She said, I always feel bad when I feel good because I know I'm going to feel worse. That's bad. Listen, Jesus died on the cross so that you and I could have victory to serve him all the days of our lives. I carry a smile on a stick everywhere I go because a lot of folks look like, well, frankly, they look like the hogs just ate their baby brother. That's what they look like. It's okay to grin in church, amen? These folks did an amazing job up here this morning, and we clapped our hands and we sang, there's no God like Jehovah, amen? We just had a revival in our hometown, and an old-timey preacher came and preached it, and I don't know why it is, but I like those old-timey guys now, you know. I think I'm one of them. And the chorister sang that song just before he preached, and he got up, and he said, no God like Jehovah. He said, there's no God but Jehovah. Amen. They roused us up this morning. I mean, they did me. I was blessed before we ever came up here. This is the kind of church I'd join if I was anywhere near here. If y'all didn't have snow, I'd consider it. I'll tell you that. Just can't do that snow. Some days I'd trade that humidity for that snow. Revelation 12:11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Remember when you got saved? Remember how you felt right after you realized that your sins were gone? Remember how you felt that day you were walking on air as you left the church house or wherever it was that you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you said, wow, well, that's the way it ought to be today, amen? I was 7 years old when I got saved. I was 36 years old when I went on the road. Good night of living. I'll be 73 years old in just a few days. I'm older than dirt. But I'll tell you what, I'm happy in the Lord anyway. And it really doesn't matter what comes my way today. I'm going to wear a smile, hold my head up high and say, I'm happy in the Lord anyway. Amen? Amen. We got something to shout about. A delight to do his Father's will, a devotion to a lost world, a desire to give you and I victory to serve the Lord, and last of all, a determination to bring many souls unto glory. You see that book in the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Yeah, you know, God's interested in quality. And we've kind of turned our focus today. We need to get back to center pole, in my opinion. We need to get back to soul winning. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We need to get back to realizing that every soul is, each one is worth more than all the world. What shall it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? God's concerned about every single individual life. Oh, we listen to stories as we travel and meet folks, and not just in church. We're out in the store and in the laundromat and now in the campground. That's pretty, I'm kind of enjoying that. And we meet folks and listen to stories and our hearts break. You know why? Because God couldn't have been from any other source. God put a love in our hearts for the souls of this world. And it breaks my heart to listen. A pastor in New York we've known all of our lives, came home from church just weeks ago, and their grown son who never did seemingly find his way in this world, came home, and David was there in his bed. He'd already gone out into eternity by his own hand from the drugs. Oh, I tell you, this world is a sad, broken-hearted place if all you see is that. But thank God there's hope in Jesus. I tell you this morning, there's hope in Jesus. And a determination to see you come to himself kept him on that cross that day. He loves you with a never-dying love. Make no mistake, please. Make no mistake about it, and let there be no misunderstanding. He said, this is a faithful saying, 1 Timothy 1:15, and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Boy, I'm glad he didn't put a lot of demands on me before I came to him. He didn't say, you gotta jump through these hoops, you got to clean up, you got to get your act together, you got to do this, that, and the other. No, he said, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. That's what he said. Just come as you are. Just come as you are. Hear me this morning. Hear me this morning. God reaches out to you right now. I've got some lost loved ones. Linda does. We're praying for them every day. Oh, God. Get a hold of their hearts. Draw them to yourself. Hebrews 2:10, for it became him by whom are all things in bringing many sons unto glory. A delight to do his Father's will. A devotion to a lost world. Oh, a desire to give God's people the victory to serve him. And a determination to bring many souls unto glory. Kept our Savior on that cross. Aren't you glad he didn't come down? Let's stand with our heads bowed. Father, it's never just humdrum. It's never just get through it. It's never drudgery. It's never just pass the time and get on to something else. But the preaching time, that's the special time. God, I thank you for the preacher, Brother Stan, that you called to this place and have anointed and blessed and used across these years. God, I pray for him today, this man of God. I ask you to strengthen him. I ask you to encourage him, to inspire him, to refresh his heart and his soul for this community, for this state, for this world. Be with his dear wife, Emily. Oh God, she's a gal of so many talents. Thank you for infusing those talents into this young lady. Lord Jesus, continue to use this couple and all of these that serve alongside them here in this place. Lord Jesus, would you bless Cornerstone? I pray for this church every day of my life, even when I'm not standing here. It's been the desire of my heart, Lord, to see revival just sort of kick off up here in the tip top of our country and then spread down across New England and down the eastern seaboard into the deep south and then across the midsection of our country and all the way out to the liberal west coast. God, would you one more time, would you allow us to see a sweeping revival in this nation? Father, speak to hearts in this room today. Somebody here that needs to do business with you at this altar right now. Somebody needs to come and repent. Somebody needs to come and be saved. Someone, maybe many in this room today, need to start over again. Thank you, Lord, that you're the God of the second chance and the third and the 100th. Thank you, God, that to as many as received him, to them gave you the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Nobody that comes to Jesus calling on his name have you ever refused. Lord, would you reach out now? Men, women, boys, girls, draw folks to yourself. Draw folks to do what they'll be glad they did. 100 million years from this morning. Save precious souls. Reclaim those that have wandered away. I pray in Jesus' name. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed and nobody looks around, I wonder if you'd leave your place there now and make your way here to an altar of prayer. As the singers sing, as the service and invitation goes forward, it's just for you. Will you come right now? God bless you as you do.